You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you because your word has the power to save us. But we confess to you that at times we don't always listen to your word. But we thank you that you have raised up prophets like Samuel, like Martin Luther, and like Martin Luther King Jr. So, Lord, help us to listen to your word and to share your word with all the world. Amen. Well, good morning. Buenos dias. Buenos dias. That sounds good. That sounds good. Suena muy bien. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Mañana es el día de Martin Lutero King. And we are Lutherans. So what's the connection besides just the name? ¿Cuál es la conexión entre Martin Lutero de Alemania and Martin Luther King Jr. de los Estados Unidos? What's the connection? You might have heard already that when Martin Luther King Jr. was a little boy, his dad went to seminary to become a pastor. El papá de MLK fue al seminario a estudiar ser un pastor. And when he was in the seminary taking Christian history and theology, he read about Martin Luther and the preaching of being saved by grace through faith and not by our works. And this man in the seminary was so enamored, he changed his name to Martin Luther, kept the last name the same King, and he renamed his son to boot. And that's how MLK got his name, from his dad, who loved the theology of Martin Luther. Así fue la manera en que MLK recibió su nombre. But what I'd like to do today is to build a little bit of a bridge in our minds between these two men, because they have so much more in common than just their names. Yo quiero hacer un puente en nuestra mente entre Dr. King y Dr. Lutero, porque tiene mucho en común. First and foremost, they are both prophets. Just like we read about in the Old Testament about Samuel, a prophet is someone who rises to the occasion in which they live because they receive a word from God and they share it. And it has to do with that moment in time, the occasion. Luther was called the occasional theologian. Not because he was only occasionally theological, but his writing always had to do with a moment in time, with an actual occasion. MLK was very similar. He didn't set out to be some national leader, but he was a powerful preacher, and he rose to the moment in which he lived to speak a word of truth. That's what it means to be a prophet. Martin Lutero, Dr. Lutero, en los años 1500, fue un teólogo de la ocasión, del momento en tiempo. Él recibió palabra de Dios y quería compartirlo en este momento. Igual como Dr. King en los Estados Unidos, también recibió una palabra de Dios y lo predicó con fuerza. So that's our first connection point between these two men. They are men who are moved by God's word to speak to a moment in time and history. So what was that issue? What was at stake? What was the occasion that caused them to do this? Well, you know. I would wager you know, right? For Dr. King in the United States, the situation that he was in was one of Jim Crow segregation. A terrible, terrible time in our history where slaves had been freed. They had freedom. There was opportunity and growth and reconstruction. And then little by little, those rights were stripped away down into a situation of segregation that some argued in some ways was worse than slavery. Because men and women who happen to have black skin were told, get out there, work, you can make it. This is what our country is about. And yet all these rules were put in place where they could never get ahead, with rare exception. That was the occasion that Martin Luther King prompted him to be a prophet. La situación para Dr. King en los Estados Unidos en los años temprano después del 1900 era la segregación, especialmente en el sur de los Estados Unidos. La gente con piel negro experimentaron la segregación y un sistema injusto. Y aunque ellos trataban de trabajar duro y duro y duro, nunca podían sobrepasar la discriminación. So that was the situation of Dr. King. The situation of Dr. Luther actually wasn't that different, if you think about it. About 500 years earlier in Germany, you also had a system of oppression, not based on race, but unfortunately, based on religion, where the church was oppressing poor people in Germany and all over Europe. And same thing, people would work and work and work and try and get ahead, but they taught at that time, the corruption in the church, that in order to get to heaven, you pretty much had to buy your way in. And so the church would really just extract so much money from people. Especially if you had a loved one die, people felt like they'd have to pay for private religious services so their loved one's soul could get into heaven. And that's just one example. But the similarity is that they were in this system that really made people's lives extremely difficult. La situación para Lutero, 500 años antes de Dr. King, en Alemania y en Europa, la iglesia había un sistema de opresión. Y aunque la gente estaba tratando de sobrepasar los retos en sus vidas, en esos tiempos, la iglesia predicaba que para entrar en los cielos, uno tenía que pagar. Pagar por misas especiales, por los seres queridos que han muerto. Y en esa manera también la gente estaba oprimidos. So both men are living in a time when people are being sold a bill of lies, basically, and exploited. And the rationale behind this that Luther criticized was works righteousness. It was just everywhere you turn, it was preached, you had to work, work, work to get into heaven. And Luther said, hogwash. And Luther really talked like that, by the way. He used a lot of colorful language. He said, hogwash. The only thing you have to do to get into heaven is believe. Believe in God's grace. Trust God. That salvation is a free gift. Lutero predicaba que solamente uno solamente tenía que tener fe para entrar en los cielos. Y Lutero criticaba la enseñanza de justificación a través de las obras. So how does that connect to Dr. King? Well, Dr. King also preached faith, by the way. And the reason that Dr. King preached faith was because he preached nonviolence. Now, there were people in the African community, African American community in his time, that were just as frustrated as Dr. King, but rather than leading nonviolence, there were voices that were calling for like an armed conflict. And Dr. King said, no, that isn't what's going to get us our freedom. Only God can give us our freedom. And in order to know that freedom, the most important thing that you can have is faith. And that's why Dr. King promoted nonviolence, because he believed that freedom was a gift from God that one had to believe in first and foremost, and that that would change the situation in the world. Dr. King predicaba resistencia sin violencia. Y la razón por qué él podía predicar esto también, como Lutero, era por la fe. Tener fe en Dios primeramente es solo el poder que uno necesita para cambiar el mundo. Both men in a historical situation, both dealing with oppression, both seeing faith in God as the way of changing the world. Now, how does this connect to our scripture today? Well, Jesus was the same way. Jesus, when he called the disciples, he called them to let go of their expectation that they would change the world by what they were doing, but rather that they should follow God first and foremost. We read in the scriptures today how Jesus called the disciples. These disciples were fishermen. Some were tax collectors. Some were carpenters like Jesus. And Jesus said, the first thing you need to do is have faith. And by having faith and following me, God's kingdom will come. Jesús también predicaba la fe primero a los discípulos. Aunque uno es pescadero, aunque otro es carpintero, aunque otro es cobrador de impuestos, Jesús dijeron, no por esas obras van a ganar la salvación, sino por la fe y seguirme. And so the disciples followed Jesus. One of the most powerful things about Dr. King's preaching, which those sound bites we hear, especially this time of year with tomorrow being Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Dr. King had a way of preaching where he would start off really slow and he would talk about the historical situation, you know, segregation mostly, but other topics too. And then he would sort of build up and encourage his followers who were black and white and all races, to make a difference without violence, but with love. And then the climax of his sermons and his preaching, got to watch out, Aurora, I'm kind of getting close to you here, is that Dr. King always ended his sermons with a vision of God's grace, la gracia de Dios. Think about it. I have a dream, right? That whole speech, he talks about the really terrible things in the world. He talks about nonviolent resistance. But the part that we remember, the part that's the most powerful, is his vision from God of a beloved community, the dream of little children holding hands. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. His vision of everybody who works hard having an opportunity to live a good life economically. And his speeches would end not by telling people what they had to do, but always declaring what God does. He concludes his I Have a Dream speech with, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Our God. La manera en que predicó Dr. King era siempre empezar lento con el problema. Luego, la aplicación que hacemos nosotros, trabajar sin violencia, resistir. Y siempre él terminó con la gracia, con una palabra de Dios, la obra de Dios. Él predicaba siempre en el fin, el sueño de Dios, la cosa que Dios va a hacer en la tierra, la liberación de todos ser humano, la oportunidad de todo ser humano, el bienestar. Esto es el sueño de Dios. And that style of preaching, that way of communicating, is 100,000 million percent Lutheran. Because in Luther's day in the 1500s, the church had just gotten to this place that all they did was just told people what they had to do. Come at this time, do this thing, kneel this way, say this prayer. It was just a list of things you had to do. And Luther's big breakthrough when he could finally read the Bible on his own is he said, as the church, as preachers, we have to tell people the good news. We have to preach grace, that God loves people unconditionally. Every sermon's got to have it, he would say. Every Bible study has to have it. Every worship service. That's why communion is so important for us as Lutherans. Not because it's a good work we do, but it's God's grace given to us. Our Lutheran understanding of communion is that this is God's grace made tangible in bread and wine. And so you see Dr. King 500 years later preaching the exact way Luther said that we should preach and do church. Martin Lutero, 500 años antes de Dr. King, descubrió que la Biblia está lleno de buenas noticias, el Testamento Viejo y el Testamento Nuevo, y que es necesario por cada predicador para la iglesia, para los seguidores de Cristo, que tenemos que predicar la gracia de Dios, la visión de Dios, la palabra de Dios. Sí, hay cosas que tenemos que hacer, pero lo más importante es lo que Dios hace para nosotros. Por ejemplo, en la comunión, esto es un don de Dios. Sangre y cuerpo, pan y vino, perdón del pecado. And so for this reason, they are strongly connected. And of course, it's not just about Martin Luther in the 1500s or Dr. Martin Luther King in the 1900s. What we're really talking about here is the Word of God, like Samuel heard, even before both of these men. Estamos hablando de la palabra de Dios. A few years ago, not many, maybe 5 years ago, there was a really popular video game app called Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go was all the thing, right? And Pokemon Go was such a fun game on the phone because it integrated different technologies so that your GPS on your phone that tracks us every step we move, right? But the game was fun because a person who played it, they would see a virtual world on their screen that coincided with the real world. So if this was a stop on Pokemon Go, you'd see kids come up and they would attack Charmander or whatever, and then they would go on to the next place. And when that was happening, there were some churches that were said, hey, we need to be on Pokemon Go, and that way, you know, we're going to get the kids to come here. Había unos años este juego Pokemon Go en los teléfonos, y los niños estaban caminando por todas partes y las iglesias decían, oh, nosotros tenemos que tener una parada en el juego. And that's great, that's good. But it was at that same time that our previous bishop, Bishop Fink, preached a sermon, and I'll never forget it. He said, if only we had a technology that you could carry with you everywhere you went that could tell you everything you needed to know about God and connected you to God. And then he held up a Bible. And he said, we have it. And it's thousands of years old, and it's still powerful. Durante ese tiempo, el obispo predicaba, si ojalá nosotros tuviéramos una tecnología así, que cada ser humano podría tener la palabra de Dios en su bolsa. Y él tenía su Biblia. Dijo, sí, tenemos, y hemos tenido por miles de años. By the way, many people look at the scriptures on their phone, and that's great. Why not? That's good. A propósito, está bien leer la Biblia en un electrónico. Eso me encanta. And so it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that connects the different Lutherans, the Lutherans in America, the Lutherans in Germany, and Christians and people of faith throughout time. And our psalm today tells us everything we need to know about what it means to know the love of God. And the psalm I'm going to share with you a little bit in English, El Salmo El Día de Hoy. I remember being a child in Sunday school, and the teacher taught us that if you ever needed to know where the psalms were in the Bible, all you had to do was hold the Bible, put your thumbs on the top and open it, and your Bible would almost always open to the psalms. Yo recuerdo en la escuela dominical como niño, el maestro diciendo, si pones tus dedos arriba de tu Biblia y lo abre en la mitad, siempre va a abrir a los salmos. And the psalm today, Psalm 139, says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. La sabiduría del Señor es tan maravillosa que yo no puedo obtenerla. For you yourself, God, created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Tú, Dios, creaste mi propia ser. Tú me cosiste en el vientre de mi mamá. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful and I know them. Te doy gracias porque yo soy hecho maravillosamente. Tus obras son magníficos, los que yo conozco muy bien. My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret, woven in the depths of the earth. Mi cuerpo no fue escondido de ti, Señor, mientras yo estaba haciendo hecho en la profundidad de la tierra. Your eyes have seen my limbs, my yet unfinished in the womb. All of them are written in your book. My days were fashioned before they came to be. Tus ojos viste mi cuerpo en el vientre. Mis días están escritos en el libro del Señor. Mis días son hechos antes de que yo nací. How deep I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. Qué profundos son tus pensamientos, Dios. Tan grande son el total de esos. And so this is the good news today, my friends. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. God loves you unconditionally and saves you by God's mercy. Tú estás hecho en la imagen de Dios. Dios les ama sin condiciones y Dios les salva por su amor. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.